Okay, good evening, guys and gals. This is South Cars, South Coast Amateur Radio Service. This net is conducted under the guidelines of the South Cars organization and further follows the rules outlined in FCC Part 97 and good amateur practice. This Cars server is supplied by the Great Lakes Reflector System provided by KB8ZGL. And all contacts and requests for information will be handled through the net control. When contact was made with another station, please move off this system and establish your contact direct so the net may continue. In fairness to all, short-time stations will not be recognized as such. All stations will be worked in the order in which they checked in. Information regarding our HF operation may be found at www.southcars.com and for our digital operation at www.voip.southcars.com. Your net control for this session is threefold tonight. We have Gary up in Syracuse, New York, KC2RMO. We'll be leading off the program, followed by Kathy, K6SUN in Vero Beach, and I'll be pulling up the stern end, and I'm Gordon, KY6V. I would like to say that two of us in the threefold here have no snow on the ground. And I would not be surprised if the Syracuse contingent is staying indoors tonight, and he's certainly not wearing shorts. With that, do we have any emergency traffic or anything out of the order that needs to be handled at this point? If so, call now, please. Okay, all's quiet on the Western Front. How about birthdays? Do we have any birthdays out there today, tomorrow, yesterday, last week, this week? We'd love to hear from you. Over. It's dramatic on this net how we don't get any older. This is the South Cars VOIP Global Family Hour, and the intent of this net is to encourage members, their families, and their friends worldwide to enter into an informal social network highlighting third-party traffic through the member station. Our program for this evening, as has been mentioned, will be December trivia, and we expect to have a lot of fun with this. So, Mr. Syracuse, if you want to defend your weather, go ahead or start with the program, and good evening, sir. KC2RMO from KY6V for South Cars.
Hey, thank you, sir. And, there's a lot of defending needed for this. We've got 10 degrees right now, and we've got about a 20-mile-an-hour wind on that. And I didn't do the wind chill calculation, but it's cold outside. It really and truly is. And we were expecting 6 to 10 inches for the city tonight. That's going to have a winter storm warning up for us as well. So that's for the overnight hours. So going to be rocking and rolling right around midnight here in Syracuse, this beautiful Outer Comstock section. And hello there. We've got trivia tonight. And always a good time. I know we've always enjoyed that. As a little sidelight, I'm just going to throw this in there. It has absolutely nothing to do with trivia. And I'm not even going to get into the point that my wife framed me and had me put on Santa's naughty list. Not even going there. But in the mail today, I received something kind of interesting, which was a QSL card. That has been kind of either he's been late on sending out his card, or this has been making the rounds for a while. I don't know, but this is from a QSO on 29 March 2012. So it's been a while, okay? But I did get it from KG4TTQ today in Atlanta, and good to see that. It was nice, and I like it. I like the fact that some folks still, take the time. It may be better late than never. You know what I mean? So we're doing our trivia questions tonight. Let me just buy a nickel, and let's get them started right now. Okay. So what we'll do is I'm going to take some questions, and then we're going to pass the end the net control around, and we're going to see your answers, and we'll get things going with one right now about December. And December has always had 31 days. Is that true, or is that false? So the first trivia question we have right now is, did December always have 31 days? And we will take your answers right now. So let's go with some check-ins, and let's hear what you have to say. This is KC2RMO, and this is South Cars.
Well, that's a quiet start. Six, Victor.
Hey, we're the ones who're supposed to be frozen. Anybody else for check-ins? Anybody else for check-ins? Did December always have 31 days, true or false? We'll take one more chance at checking in, and then we'll go to Gordon. All right, Steph says true. I'm going to put that, you heard that off mic, but you didn't hear that off mic, but Steph says true, but let's weigh in with Six Victor. Hello there, Gordon. Good evening to you.
Hello there, Mr. Syracuse. KY6V here. Well, I'm going to have to throw my hat at false. Not that I have the agenda here in the script that you're reading off to, but I'm going to say it's because there was at one point 32 days in December, and that was back in December of 1936. I was born in January the 21st of 1937, and the good people that were in command knew that this was just going to be a big problem, and they tried to elongate December as far as they could. KY6V, back to net.
Honest to gosh, I never heard that before. That's really cool. So 32 days in December. That's pretty neat. Well, and so you say false, and my wife says false. So true, excuse me, true. And the answer here is that it is false. There were 29 days in December until Julius Caesar added 2 days to December as part of his calendar reform. And we upped that calendar reform and added 32, according to Gordon, too. So it's been messed around with before, that's for sure. So that's our first question as we get things going. And we'll move it along to question number two. And again, this is a December question, okay? So the question is, what was the Roman festival that was held at the end of December, okay? Now, I'm going to give you some names to go by, okay, that will give you a choice. So when you answer, it'll be A, B, C, or D. The first choice is the Festival of Venus. That's A. B would be Mars Days. C would be Saturnalia. And D, the Feast of Zeus. I like that, the Feast of Zeus. So those are your choices. A, the Festival of Venus. B, Mars Days. C, Saturnalia. And D, the Feast of Venus. So we'll take your answers right now. You can just answer with letter only if you want. Come on aboard, and let's hear what you have to say as we continue our trivia on South Cars.
One, India.
And six, Victor.
And Sierra United November.
Victor Hotel.
Oh, that's a good round. All right, we'll go down the list then. That's a great way to start on question number two. We'll get things going with One India. Hello there, Paul, and how say ya? What number or what letter, I guess I should say, are we looking for?
All right. First thing that happened good is I pressed the right button. Good evening, Gary, Gordon, everybody else, Kathy, on South Cars this evening. It is 15 degrees here in New Milford, Connecticut tonight. The snow is falling heavily, and they are predicting that we're going to be buried by tomorrow morning, so we will see. But Gary, I'm going to go with D. I've got no reason whatsoever to pick one over the other. All I know about the Romans is I believe that they kind of idolized the Greeks, and my problem is I couldn't even tell you which of those gods that you just named were Greek gods and which were others. So we're just going to go with D and Zeus, and that's my sticking with it there. Whatever. Back to.
All right, Paul, you just kind of went away real quick, but we got you there. The Festival of Zeus, and of course, that was immortalized by the invention of the Zeus suit back in the 40s, I think it was. So. But we'll put you down for Zeus, and we'll move along now with six. Victor Hill there, Gordon, one more time.
Hey, thanks, Gary. Good evening to you, Paul, and the entourage that you have behind you, and also good evening to you, Steve. Well, it's very obvious to me that the answer has to be B as in Bravo. That's Mars Day. You know, after this glorious TIN communication about life in outer space last Thursday evening, that's got to be it, Gary. KY6V, over.
I'm having the same problem Paul did. I'm pressing the wrong button, too. It has to be that, right? After that, they knew, you know, that at some time in the future we'd be talking about Mars in some description, and you know, they founded a day in its honor. So I'm with you. I'm willing to go along with that too. So we'll put Gordon down for B and Mars Days, and we will move along here to SUN. Kathy, hello there, and what's your answer as we continue this on the Global Family Hour?
Well, good evening, Gordon, and good evening to everyone else. It's still currently 75, Paul and Gary in Vero Beach, so it's still a very beautiful evening. Well, I'll tell you what, three of the answers have to do with planets. And Zeus, I think actually Jack, K4JAK, told me a recipe that needed the Zeus in, and I didn't like the Zeus, so I won't go there. But, you know, I like Venus. So I'm going to go with A, the Festival of Venus. Back to you, Gary.
Okay, we're all over the place on this. The Festival of Venus. We've got Zeus. We've got Mars Days. So it's kind of a split decision here. Let's see if we can get a consensus at least on one of these items here. We'll go to Victor Hotel. Hello there, Steve, and welcome aboard.
Well, good evening, Gary, and good evening to everyone on board the net tonight. I'm afraid it's Saturnalia. It was actually a multi-day holiday, and gifts were given. KF5VH.
Okay, so Saturnalia. So we've had a choice of one of each, and who was right? Well, it turns out the answer was C. It was Saturnalia. Okay. The ancient Roman festival of Saturnalia started on December 17th and lasted for 7 days. So it would go the 17th right up to our Christmas Eve. As Steve said, gifts were given, and I have heard that in history anyway that was the chosen day to celebrate Christmas on, that the birth of Jesus. May have actually been in January sometime, but I guess they decided since there was a holiday there already and it was already a popular holiday that they kind of celebrated then. If you read through your history books, you might find that, but it's all conjecture at this point. But at any rate, Steve was right, and the answer is Saturnalia. So we're doing trivia tonight on the Global Family Hour. And it's real easy. We're just going to ask you some questions, and you jump in there with whatever answer you want to have, and we're going to see who's right. We will go on to question number three right now. The December solstice is the day of the year with the longest hours of daylight in the southern hemisphere. Is this true, or is this false? Again, the December solstice is the day of the year with the longest hours of daylight in the southern hemisphere. True or false? We will take your answer right now as we continue with trivia on the Global Family Hour. I'm KC2 RMO, and this is South Cars.
One India with two answers.
Victor Hotel.
Victor X-Ray Papa.
Okay, three check-ins right now, and a rousing check-in from One India. Paul, what have you got? Which two answers do you have?
First of all, Gary, the last question you had, I put in the text box that we had another answer for you here from Jessica, but you didn't call on her. So we're very upset about that, and you should be amazed we're even talking to you at this point in time. But I only have one answer. My answer is, yes, and her answer, by the way, that you didn't take was correct. She had the Saturnarian, which makes it even worse. So, but on this question, my answer is true, that the Southern Hemisphere would be the whatever. Jessica, come here. All right, now we're trying to get her up to the mic here, so see how this is done. Before we time out, then, true or false?
Southern Hemisphere, longest day, yes, true.
There you go, Gary. WQ on New Milford, Connecticut.
Well, we've got two for true, and once again, here I have been placed and proven to be on Santa's naughty list this year, and under terrible circumstances this was done. I was framed by my very own wife with this, and here I am. You know, I'm upset, and that's why I miss Jessica. So Jessica, Steph takes full and complete responsibility for this heinous act, but Jessica, please accept my apologies for this. But I was under duress. But we will mark you as a retroactive Saturnalia on that one, and the answer of true has also been recorded. We will move things along. With Victor Hotel. Come on aboard, sir.
Hello again, Gary and everyone. Well, it's a trick question that can't be answered because you didn't say whether you were calling it summer solstice in the north or the south hemisphere. Everything in the south is reversed, like low pressure centers spin the opposite way that they do. What we call a summer solstice in the northern hemisphere is called the winter solstice in the southern hemisphere. So since you didn't say where you were calling the name, you can't answer the question. KF5VH.
Well, you know, that's probably I just got a humbug from Paul. That's probably absolutely right on. It's not the answer that I have here, but you make great sense. The way the question reads is that the December solstice is the day of the year with the longest hours of daylight in the southern hemisphere. So based on that, Steve, would you just venture a guess anyway, or whatever you think might be the best answer for that? Maybe not the right answer, but the best answer.
Okay, if you said December, I missed that. The December solstice has the shortest day in the southern hemisphere.
Very good. All right, we will enter that as such then, that it is false. So we will move it along, and we will go out to Ohio, where it's probably pretty darn cold, and check in with Rick, VXP. Hello there.
This is N1TXP. Not really that cold. Quite surprising. 35 degrees. We missed, and I mean missed, the winter weather advisory. We got no snow. We just got rain out of it. I think I'm going to have to say, that is a trick one, but... I would say being the longest in the southern, it would have to be true.
All right, good enough. And yeah, we didn't miss a thing. We got cold and we got wind, and we're going to get about 10 inches by tomorrow morning. So that's not a huge amount of snow by Syracuse standards, but it's a lot of snow by anybody's estimation. It's just I guess we're kind of used to it, so it doesn't really. It's just more pesky than anything else. So the answer here, now, again, Steve made a great point in the way that's worded, but is, again, I'm just going to repeat the verbiage of the question, and that is the December solstice is the day of the year with the longest hours of daylight in the southern hemisphere. And the answer, of course, true or false. And the general consensus was true, and Steve says no. And the explanation that I have here is the December solstice can fall on either December 21 or December 22 in the northern hemisphere. It has the least hours of daylight. So if you're in the north, you've got the least hours of daylight. If you're in the south, it's the longest hours of daylight. So that was kind of a trick question. And we will move things along here. To question number four. And question number four has to do with the Druids. And the Druids had a festival in December, too. And the question here is, what are which of these plants, I'm going to give you a choice of plants to choose from, which of these plants did they use for this festival? Okay, the answers are A, mistletoe, B, pine tree branches, C, holly, and D, yew. Not you as in you, but you as in the plant. So those are your choices. A, mistletoe, B, pine tree branches, C, holly, and D, you. And we will take your answers right now as we continue with trivia on the Global Family Hour. I'm KC2RMO, and this is South Cars.
Six, Victor.
Okay, Six Victor's going to take a shot at it. Anybody else want to? Again, the question is, the Druids had a festival in December. Which of these plants did they use in their celebration? Was it A, mistletoe? Was it B, pine tree branches? Was it C, holly? Or was it you? Anybody else want to jump in there? Nope. So we'll turn it over to Six Victor. What is your guess, sir?
One India.
And we have one India in there, too. Okay, so we'll go Gordon first and Paul second. Gordon, what's your guess, sir?
I was going to say if I was the only one, I won even if I was wrong, but Paul jumped in and took care of that. KY6V here. Well, I wasn't around with the Druids. Didn't hang out with those dudes. Don't know how they flipped their skirt or marched to the beat of the drummer. But I tell you what, if they were a savvy group, they're going to have to pick mistletoe because that's the only one that makes any sense to me. When I was growing up, I liked to have that mistletoe hanging up around because I got to kiss all the girls. KY6V, go ahead, Gary.
It's a handy plant, that's for sure. So we will put Gordon down for mistletoe. And I was trying to think about those Druids too, what they were up to, and I cannot really remember what they were. I think. And maybe Kathy, as a history teacher, might be able to enlighten us a little bit. But I think the Druids built Stonehenge, if I'm correct. So maybe she can comment on that. But we will put you down, Gordon, for mistletoe, and we will check in with one India and see what Paul's take is on this. Come on aboard, Paul.
Hey, Gary, WQ1I here. We've got three answers here from New Milford. First, Jessica.
I'm going to say you.
And Lulu.
Mistletoe.
And I'm going to go with Holly. So there you go. We got three different choices. One of us has to be right.
Well, that's a wise choice, spreading it around, because Team Paul here has a correct answer in the mix, okay? And the correct answer for this is A, mistletoe. The Druids used mistletoe. It is a parasitic plant, kind of like my brother-in-law. No, wait a minute. The mistletoe is a parasitic plant that grows on trees. It's used as a Christmas decoration. These days usually made out of plastic, but if you shop around, you still can get the real deal, usually being sold by florists, but you can get it. But the Druids were the folks that introduced mistletoe into the holiday celebration. So good first round on those four. That was a lot of fun. We will change hands now, and we will move to Kathy, K6SUN, and we will have her handle the next set of questions. So, Kath, I turn it over to you.
All right. Thank you so much, Gary. This is Kilo 6 Sierra United November, and I think my questions are a little easier. As far as the Druids, I think you are right with Stonehenge, and actually tomorrow we're doing December traditions, Christmas traditions, and we'll go into a little further of the December traditions, and it sort of follows our trivia tonight. So let me give you the first question, and you know the way we do this, we just throw the question and the choices, and then we ask you to come aboard. And remember, even if you don't know the correct answer, this is all in fun, and we want you to participate. But let me just buy a nickel here for a moment, and I'll read my first question. All right, here it goes. What Saint's Day is December 6th? And here are your choices. A is Saint Paul, named after Paul, one Indian, of course. B, Saint Stephen, and that's named after Steve VH, of course. We have C, Saint Wenceslas, and I don't think we have any of those there. Or we have D, Saint Nicholas. So your choices are A, Saint Paul, B, Saint Stephen, C, Saint Wenceslas, and D, Saint Nicholas. Saints Day, December 6th. Check-ins, please.
RMO.
Media contingency.
All right, I have Mr. RMO, and I have the New Milford contingency. I think I heard that. So hopefully that is at least three. I'm not sure if the puppy and the other child are there, but thank you so much. Is there anyone else? I have RMO and the New Milford contingency. Does anyone else want to make a stab at this question? All right, hearing nothing, let me throw it up there to cold, snowy Syracuse and see what your answer is. A, B, C, or D. Gary, come aboard.
Well, I mean, I got to say, I've got this measly little contingency going up here in Syracuse as we're being beaten up by a winter storm, you know. Our good friends in New Milford have us outnumbered, so we're going to do the best we can with what we got. Can I hear from the wife unit on that one?
I'm saying D.
All right, the wife unit says D. She's going with St. Nicholas. Now me, I'm going to do something else here. I'm going to say, I don't think it was St. Wenceslas, because the song goes, "Good King Wenceslas," you know, that one there. So that's not that. St. Paul. Yeah, they either celebrated Christmas in Minnesota or Milford. I'm not sure. So I'm going to say St. Stephen. I'm going to say St. Stephen was December 6th, but we'll put it down for two then. So it's going to be St. Stephen and St. Nicholas. And with that, we will go back to the net. This is KC2RMO.
Okay, thank you, both of you up in Syracuse. And sorry you're on that naughty list, Gary, but, you know, maybe you can talk to Mrs. Claus and she'll get you off that naughty list so that you can have some gifts delivered for Christmas. Thank you, both of you, for those answers. All right, Mr. One India and New Milford area, come aboard. Give us your choices. And thanks once again for bringing everyone aboard tonight, Paul. So what are your choices?
Okay, Kathy, WQ1I here. We've got three. We've got two. We've got two answers.
Two and one on the fence.
two answers so far. Lulu.
St. Nicholas.
St. Nicholas, a last-minute change for Lulu. I have to go with St. Paul.
I'm.
Jessica.
St. Paul, I have to.
Okay.
Pressure.
One Nicholas and two Pauls. Back to that.
All right, thank you, Lulu and Jessica and Paul. St. Paul. Well, I'm sorry, Paul and Jessica, but it is St. Nicholas. So Lulu was right. You know, St. Nicholas is the patron saint of Greece and Turkey, as well as some other countries. You know, in some European countries, gifts are given on this day. St. Nicholas, or Sinterklaas, gives his name to the present-day Santa Claus. So thank you, everyone. Saint Nicholas is that correct answer. Let me drop it here a moment, and I'm going to go with my next question. And this has to do with December 26th and December 25th. But let me buy a nickel here. All right, my question reads, December 26th, as well as December 25th, is a holiday in some countries. What is it known as? And let me reread that. December 26th, as well as December 25th, is a holiday in some countries. And what is it called? Here's your choices. Let's Hug Day, Boxing Day, National Blue Jeans Day, or actually Paul Ice Hockey Day. So your choices are Let's Hug Day, Boxing Day, National Blue Jeans Day, or Ice Hockey Day. So how about coming aboard and just taking a stab at that, or maybe you know the correct answer. So I'm looking for check-ins at this point.
Victor Hotel.
One in
RMO.
And six Victor.
Well, thank you so much. That household up there in New Milford must be having a grand old time tonight, awaiting all that heavy snow. And I love the laugh. Jessica and Stephanie both have a very wonderful laugh. So, let me start off with Mr. VH, I believe, was the very first one. Let's see what you have, Steve. And you didn't come aboard to do the last question when I said St. Stephen, but that wasn't the correct answer anyways. But Steve, come aboard, and thanks for being here tonight.
Well, good evening to you, Kathy. I actually learned about this from a MASH episode, what it's called and what they do on the day. But it is Boxing Day, KF5VH.
All right. Thank you so much, Steve. And if that is the correct answer, and we'd sure like you to share what you said they do on that day. So with that, I'm going to go up there all the way to New Milford, the New Milford contingency, and see what they would like to share with us this evening. And I'll be surprised if he doesn't say Ice Hockey Day. But Paul and that household, come aboard with your answers.
Okay, Kathy, WQ1I here. We all agree on this answer, so we're going to give you a team shout-out here. On three. One, two, three.
All right, Paul, I'm a little shocked. I figured you'd say Ice Hockey Day because that's one of your favorite sports. But thank you for sharing Boxing Day. So far, I have everyone with Boxing Day. Well, let's see. Mr. RMO, and hopefully your household, Stephanie will come aboard too. What is your choice for this answer? Let's Hug Day, Boxing Day, National Blue Jeans Day, or Ice Hockey Day? Gary, come aboard.
Well, as big a fan as I am of National Blue Jeans Day, since we live within spitting distance of that giant neon sign that says Canada, you know that you learn these things, all things Canadian here, and without doubt I'm saying Boxing Day would be the correct answer. I will turn this one over to my lovely wife, and how say you, lovely wife?
I say Boxing.
She says Boxing Day as well, so that's two for Boxing Day from the Syracuse contingent. And back to the network.
All right. So far, we have, it's unanimous. Everyone thinks it's Boxing Day. So my last check-in for this question is you, Gordon, Six Victor. Do you agree with them, or maybe you have a different answer? KY6V from Kilo 6 Sierra United November, come aboard.
Hey, thanks, Kathy. KY6V, I think I'm going to make it unanimous, but I'm going to have to confess, it is boxing. I have this very nice calendar hanging up on the wall here right next to the operating table that came from the dentist. Okay, beautiful pictures in the whole nine yards. And it happens to give me, when there's a full moon and when there's a new moon and what days are what through the month. And right on this it says Canada, Boxing Day. So that's my answer. KY6V, over.
All right. Thank you so much. I guess that's not cheating. It was there right in front of you so you could see the answer. And actually all of you are correct. But December 26th is Boxing Day in England, Australia, New Zealand, and Canada. It originated in Britain. There are various theories as to its origin. However, the thing common to all of them is the giving to the less fortunate. And I wanted to say that the Feast of Stephen is December the 26th. So with that, I'm going to throw it over to you, Steve, and see if you have anything further you want to add to Boxing Day. KF5VH from Kilo 6 Sierra United November. Anything to add?
Just real quick, Kathy, one of the modern implementations is bosses and employees exchanging places. So if I were to box, I might take a staff member and give them my responsibilities for the day within reason and have their work. I would go and I would do their work. That's a modern way of celebrating boxing. KF5VH.
Well, I like that. I'm not sure I would want to share my boss's, my principal's job versus mine. But that would be interesting. And you have a new job, and so maybe that's a little relaxed. Maybe you have a secretary. You could share that with that secretary. But thank you for that. You know, so far my questions and answers aren't as difficult as Gary's was. But let's go on. We're going to talk about the flower for December. What is the flower for December? And I'm going to give you four choices. We have hellebore, we have ivy, narcissus, and we have heather. So your choices are A is hellebore, B is ivy, C is narcissus, and D is heather. So with that, I'm throwing it out to all these wonderful stations connected. How about coming aboard with a guess or the correct answer? Because, you know, this is all for fun. So come aboard with your suffix.
RMO.
All right, I have the RMO household, I am sure. Mr. One India in the household, you don't want to try this one? You know, this is flowers and gardening. So let me throw it out there and see if we have anyone else that would like to come aboard and take a stab at this one. So before I call on Gary, anyone else?
One India.
Ashka Vicky India.
All right, I have Mr. RMO, I have WQ1I and family, and I have Pete, OVI. And Pete, since you checked in late, this is about December and Christmas trivia. We have a trio fielding these questions tonight, Gary, myself, and Gordon. And so we ask that you just come aboard and choose the correct answer. So I'll start with you, Mr. RMO, and see what your choices are with this. Again, this is the flower for the month of December.
Well, thank you, Kathy. That's a good question, because it I would have just thought, you know, like a poinsettia is going to be the December flower, but it's not on the list, so I'm going to have to take a guess. Ivy isn't a flower, you know, it's a vine. And I don't know anything about hellebore. The narcissus, I think, is a summer flower, I think. So I'm going to go with good old he either. I'm going to say heather is the Christmas flower, the December flower. I think heather has a flower on it. So for a guy who's half Polish and half Scottish, I should know something about heather. But I know more about pierogies. So we'll go with that. I'm going to say heather. Wife unit, how say you?
Well, I was going to say ivy until you said it's not a flower.
Take a guess there.
I don't know flowers at all, so I'm going to say ivy.
All right. We have one for ivy and one for heather. So it's one for ivy, one for heather, and we'll go back to the network. This is KC2RMO, back to the net.
All right. Thank you, Gary and Stephanie. And actually, the December traditions that I'll talk about tomorrow talks about the poinsettia. You know, and it is a symbol of Christmas in December, along with the Christmas cactus. But those aren't in here. If you go in the stores up in your area as well as down here, that's what you see in the stores. Poinsettias all over the place. But that's not the flower for December. So let's go up to that contingency up in New Milford, where it's probably snowing like crazy and cold. But they are so warm-hearted, I can tell it, in that household. So WQ1I, come aboard and give us your choices, and thanks once again for being here.
Okay, well, WQ1I, New Milford. Well, Kathy, when you first started reading this question, Lulu and I were conferring, and we both thought it was going to be poinsettia, but then when it wasn't one of the choices, okay, we had to regroup here. I was going to say ivy, but then Gary pointed out it's not a flower, so I gave up on ivy. So we have another consensus answer here, and one, two, three.
Narcissus!
There we go.
Well, thank you so much, Paul, and New Milford family. Actually, ivy is a plant. Heather actually is a plant also, but heather has flowers on it. I believe they're purple flowers. But let's go up to Mr. Pete, OVI. He's a person who likes to work outside with plants and planting, and so he's going to tell us what the flower is for the month of December. Mr. Pete, OVI, come aboard.
I think it's about that. It's getting frosted again. You said a flower. Now, what does a flower consist of? That's the consistency right there. Does it have to be a flower, or can it be an object like a flower? I would tend to think it's holly, because holly is a beautiful plant. I have a whole bunch of holly in the back. They had these little red berries on them. And if that's not a flower, then I don't know. But it kind of simulates the ivy. If you take the ivy and you take the leaf of an ivy and put it close to holly, there's hardly any distinction between them. But yet one of them grows like a weed, and one of them grows like a bush. So I would think to say that I'll take ivy. Let's see where that goes. Katie Fuasca, Virginia.
Well, thank you so much, Pete and Paul and household and Gary and Stephanie. And actually, I'm going to tell you about hellebore, which is not the correct answer, but it's also known as a Christmas rose as it blooms in the winter. And you know, some sources also give holly and poinsettia as December plants. Remember, we've talked about that. But actually, the correct answer goes to that New Milford contingency, Narcissus. Remember, each of the months, 12 months, they'll have a flower, they'll have a gem. So each one of the months have a symbol, and the month of December is actually the Narcissus. So Paul, Jessica, and Lulu, you can put a star on your forehead for the correct answer. I hope you're keeping tally here and see which one in your household is actually coming up with the most answers. Let me drop it here, and I'm going to go through my final question before I throw it over to Sixth Victor. And hopefully we'll get everyone to come aboard with this one, because this is a simple one. But let me drop it here a moment. You know, this is Kilo 6 Sierra United November, along with KY6V and KC2RMO on the Trivia for December on our Global Family Hour. So here's my last question for this round. What is the gem for December? Remember I said we usually have a flower and we have a gem. So what is the gem for December? A is turquoise, B is garnet, C is amber, and D is ruby. So we have turquoise, garnet, amber, and ruby. All right, what's your choices here? Please come aboard and check in with us. This is a simple question. We should have everyone coming aboard. So how about some check-ins?
Ask every candidate.
RMO.
All right, I have two. I have Oscar Victor India and RMO. Is there anyone else out there? Remember, this is a very simple question. So let's see if we can get anyone else to come aboard. Turquoise, garnet, amber, or ruby? What's the gem for the month of December? Anybody else want to try this?
One India.
All right. I have three, or I should say more than three. I have six at this point, or possibly seven, but let me start with Mr. Pete, KD4OVI, up there in the land. Tell me, what do you think the correct answer is, Pete?
I think it's ruby. It's such a pretty gem. And December is a pretty month, over. KD4OVI, Virginia.
All right, Pete, I've jotted down your answer as Ruby. Actually, Ruby is a month. It may be December. Who knows? So with that, I'm going to call on the RMO household and see what their choice is for this, the gem for the month of December. Gary and Stephanie, what do you think it is?
Well, I'm going to go back to the last question. Narcissus. I thought you said narcosis. I didn't know. I'm going to say, I don't think it's garnet. I don't think it's amber. It might be ruby. But my gut tells me that it's turquoise. And I'm going to say turquoise. So I will put that one out as my answer. I will turn to my eminently delightful wife. And what do you say, eminently delightful wife?
I say you are wrong. It's ruby.
All right. Eminently delightful wife says ruby, but I'm sticking with turquoise. And we're going to go back to the net. This is KC2RMO.
All right. Thank you, Gary and Stephanie, for your choices. One says turquoise and one says ruby. Okay, turquoise is blue and ruby is red. So we'll see what the correct answer is very soon. But let's go all the way up there to the New Milford area up there in Connecticut. WQNI and family, what are your choices for this, the gem for December? And actually, I will tell you, there are two, but one isn't on the list. So, Paul, Jessica, Lulu, what is your choice for this answer?
Okay, Kathy, WQ1I and family here. And we, you know, I don't know, this woman, all she does is laugh. She just laughs all the time. But fortunately, Lulu is much more serious, and she won't sit here laughing. But we were going through the process of elimination. Like, for instance, my birthstone is ruby, and I was born in July, not December. So we once again have come down to a unanimous choice here. And Jessica, what was your choice here?
Turquoise.
Lulu.
Turquoise.
And I'm going with the girls here with turquoise. We have three. And so far, out of the entire group, to answer your question, Lulu, so far anyway, has not gotten a single question wrong. These 13-year-olds, what are you going to do? Back to net.
Well, thank you so much. I was going to ask you how old she was, but, you know, they probably do a lot of this in school. Maybe it's not history so much, but maybe they have fun there and do this at school. Actually, you're right, Paul. Ruby is July. It was the month of my mother's birthday and their my parents' anniversary, so I knew that about Ruby. Actually, one of the correct answers is turquoise. It's blue, but another gem is zircon. It's also considered a December gem, and it wasn't on the list. But I saw Rick in the text box put two gems, and he was absolutely correct. But the other one wasn't on the list. So thank you, everyone, for coming aboard and enjoying the fun, as I hope you all are, because I sure am. That is the end of my four questions, and I'm going to throw it over to our third contingent here tonight, which is KY6B, and he's going to take the next four, and hopefully his are a little harder than mine. So KY6B, are you ready to take the next four?
Well, thanks, Kathy, and I really think my questions are probably easier than both you and Gary's, except for possibly one. Gordon here, KY6V. On the last question, I didn't jump in, but I did know the answer, and turquoise was absolutely correct. I happened to have a ring that was handed down to me from my grandfather to my father to me, which is a turquoise ring, and I received it quite young and was told that that was the gem for December, so... You know, I certainly agree with all of that. Okay, guys and gals, I'm going to go into my four questions here. And the first one is the African-American culture holiday, Kwanzaa, takes place from December 26th to January 1st. The word Kwanzaa comes from what African language? And your possible choices here are Swahili, Hausa, if I'm pronouncing that correctly, H-A-U-S-A, Bantu, B-A-N-T-U, or Arabic. Again, I'll read the question. The African American culture holiday, Kwanzaa, takes place from December 26th to January 1st. The word Kwanzaa comes from what African language? If you would be so kind, come on in, KY6V.
Hujambo. It's KC2RMO.
Yeah, Victor X-Ray Papa.
Okay, thanks, guys. I've got RMO and VXP. Anybody else?
One India requesting a repeat. All three of us missed the question.
All right, Paul, I'd be happy to do that. The question reads, the African-American cultural holiday, Kwanzaa, K-W-A-N-Z-A-A, takes place from December the 26th to January the 1st. The word Kwanzaa comes from what African language? And your choices, Paul and Jessica and Lou, are Swahili, that's A, B, Hausa, that's H-A-U-S-A, C, Bantu, B-A-N-T-U, or D, Arabic. So cogitate on that, and I'll be back with you, Paul and gang. Anybody else besides RMO, VXP, and One India, please? Okay, Mr. Syracuse, you're up. RM and 1O, please.
And you get all of them at no extra charge. I am going to say, once again, Hujambo. And Hujambo was a phrase that was taught to our class in fourth grade by a Peace Corps volunteer who had just gotten back from Africa. And the language that they gave us a demonstration of was none other than Swahili. So I'm going to say Swahili, and I'll ask it to the Sterling, Mrs. Agnew, sitting over at her desk. Have you a guess on this?
I do.
Uh-huh, and that would be?
Uh-huh,
okay.
My guess is answer 2 or B.
B, yes. You're going to say Hausa.
Yes, I am.
All right.
Because I have a reason.
Okay.
We actually have a house. You guys want to hear?
Yeah, we're in a house. Over here.
The word is Kwanzaa, which ends in an A.
Yeah.
A-A-S-A, I think. And this ends in, sounds like it ends in A.
Yeah, H-A-U-S-A.
Yeah, so
yeah.
I'm going by, like, language.
Mm-hmm,
language,
mm-hmm.
I
gotcha. Okay. Okay, so wife unit says Hausa, and I say Swahili, and I will say Mujambo, which means see you later, and turn it back to the net. This is KC2RMO.
Oh, my goodness gracious. Aso Deska, that's Japanese. Hey, thanks, Gary. Thanks, Stephanie. We've got you both listed. Let me roll it down to VXP and see what Mr. Ohio has to say. Go ahead, Rick.
Oh, I definitely agree with Gary. I think it is Swahili. I remember hearing something about that not too long ago.
All right. Thank you very much. I've got you registered here, Rick. Nice to have you aboard with us tonight. One India and the contingent. Over.
Hey, Gordon. WQ1I here. Well, we got two. Jessica and I are both saying A for Swahili. And Lulu, what do you got?
See?
Is that Bento? Bento, see? For Lulu there. He's gotten very quiet all of a sudden.
She's questioning her answer.
Anyway, back to net.
All right. Thank you, Paul and Jessica and Lou. Okay, that's the gamut. We've got a number that are quite right and some that are a little off. The proper answer is Swahili. So Gary had that right, and Stephanie, you get the next chance here, and I'll bet you'll come up with the right one. VXP was correct, and you guys did pretty good up there in New Medford, is it, as far as Danbury? But thanks, gang. That's what it is. Okay, let's go to the next question. Which of the following awards, they're getting simpler now, I think. Which of the following awards are normally handled or handed out in December? And your choices are the Academy Awards, Nobel Prizes, Grammy Awards, or Juno Awards. I'll play that back one more time. Which of the following awards are normally handed out in December? A, Academy Awards, B, Nobel Prizes, C, Grammy Awards, or D, Juno Awards. Takes on this, please, KY6V.
Sierra United November.
And RMO.
Okay. I got a covey of two. S-U-N, hi, Kathy. RMO, hello again, Gary. Anybody else?
U-1 India.
Oscar Rick India. I'll take a chance at it.
Hey, this is a nice group. S-U-N, RMO, 1 India, OVI. Anybody else?
Tango Hotel Oscar.
W-3, JDH, Dave.
Well, hi, guys. I don't know what Tom's doing up so late. Must not have taken a nap this afternoon. T-H-O, hello. And Dave, nice to see you, JDH. All right, it's a pretty good-sized group. Let's run it. S-U and 1N. Hello, Miss Sunshine. Go ahead.
All right, thank you so much. And I really want to make a comment about Jessica and Stephanie Gordon. They have such a laugh that must make those households just smile all the time and be sunshiny, like maybe my household. So I've enjoyed listening to those both of their laughs. But I'll tell you what, I don't watch the Academy Awards or the Grammy Awards. Never heard of the Juno Awards. So, and I'm not sure when the Nobel Prize is, but you know, I did an activity with my children on Friday that had to do with, you know, the young girl in Pakistan who was shot, and I did a little bit of activity with Nelson Mandela, and they were both up for the Nobel Prize. And I think I recall it saying something about this month. So I'm going to go with a Nobel Prize for December awards. And I may be wrong, but I'll go ahead with that. Back to you, Gordon.
Okay. Thanks, Kathy. Got you down for the Nobel. We'll see how that plays out. RMO. All three at one time. Go ahead, sir.
And I'm going to use them all on this particular one. I'm looking at the, and thanks, Gordon. I'm looking at the list here, and I know it's not the Academy Awards. I know it's not the Grammy Awards. I'm going to throw those two right out of the box because I think, and I don't know the dates, but it seemed to me that those are both something that you see over the summer or spring or summer anyway. Which leads us to either the Nobel Prize or the Juno Awards. Now, the Juno Awards are the Canadian equivalent of the Grammy Award. So that's kind of interesting. I'm wondering. So I'm guessing now. I'm totally taking a guess here. Kath says that she saw something about Nobel Prizes, and something kind of tugs me towards the Juno Awards. I'm gonna put my faith in Canada, and go with the Juno Awards. I got a 50-50 chance of being right at that. Steph, do you want to take a stab at that?
Yeah, I don't watch any of those award things. I care less who wins what. But I will say that the Nobel thing too.
All right. So Steph says Nobel Prize. I say Juno Awards. And Juno, it's real easy. It's one of the Juno Awards. And so we've got a 50-50 on that one. And sometime remind me to tell you the story of how Bobby Young and I tried to sneak into the CMA Awards. This is KC2RMO going back to the net.
Oh, I'd love to hear that story. Gary, KY6V here for South Cars. All right, let me make sure that I wrote this down right, because I had scribbled Nobel Prizes for you the first time, and then you changed it to Juno at the tail end of your transmission, but I've got Steph as Nobel. Would you clarify that for me, over?
Correct. We have one for Nobel and one for Juno.
And you're on the Juno, is that right?
Did you know that I chose Juneau? That is correct.
I'm still laughing about your comment about the last question, Swahili or Hassa, and you say, yeah, well, we are in the Hassa. That was very, very cute. Okay. Thanks, Tiger. Thank you, Stephanie. One India, the contingent from the cold north. Go ahead.
WQI here in New Milford, Connecticut. And, yeah, we were discussing this, and we agreed with Gary. We all live in a house, so we're going to go with that. What? No, wrong question. Sorry. We got a kick out of that one, Gary. But we are once again going with a single answer. 1, 2, 3.
Nobel Prize.
Oh,
you're doing it as a group. 1, 2, 3 again.
1, 2, 3.
Nobel Prize.
And Lou didn't go that time. We would make some really poor musicians here, Gordon. I got to tell you this. And one last comment about this Nobel Prize thing. So here we have our president of the United States who gets a Nobel Prize for doing nothing, while this poor woman gets shot in the head, and they won't even give her a Nobel Prize. What is going on in this world? I don't understand. WQ1I Danbury. No. New Milford, Connecticut.
Well, thanks for that, Paul and Jessica and Lou. I'll be very frank with you. That very thought that you just mentioned about who's got it recently came up in my mind just a few minutes ago, and I said, well, it's probably not politically correct to comment on, so I am just going to let that one lie. All right, we've got a couple of more that want to get in here. I've got your answers as Nobel. Thank you, Paul. Thank you, Jessica. Thank you, Lou. OVI, my neighbor in, I can't tell where you are. You're either DeLand or Orange City because you're right on the borderline. Go ahead, Pete.
I'm like a hamburger. I'm squeezing from the south from Orange City and north from DeLand. So I'm just like a hamburger. They put the onions on top of me. And the tomatoes in the bottom, so what can I say? I'm right in the middle of it, so. I will back up Gary's comments and fly with that. If I happen to get lost in the jungle, let me give you my SOS, Katie Four Oscar Lake India.
Okay, Pete, we got you down for Nobel. Three dots. Three dashes and three dots, and you'll be okay. Thanks, Pete. T-H-O, Tom, what a nice pleasure to have you aboard. How say you, senor? Over.
Thank you for that, Gordon, and good evening to everyone on the net. You sound like a dynamo tonight. You must have had a long nap this afternoon. I'm going with Nobel. I'm having company, but they're not here yet, so I thought I'd surprise everybody and check in. Good, huh? I don't think I was nominated for that, but that's okay. I'm not funny about that kind of stuff. Back to you.
Yeah, they overlooked me, too. Hey, thanks, Tom. Well, look, enjoy your company, and thanks for coming by. I've got you down for Nobel. David, JSH, I don't think I've talked with you since the Morse code class. How are you doing, sir? Over.
Well, Gordon, it's great to be alive. I was on this net earlier, and then I got a telephone call, so I had to leave, and I think we were on the second question, and I missed an awful lot, so I caught back up on the question, and I'm assuming the question had to do with what happens in December, and of those other things, I think they're all springtime things. I know the Oscars and the Grammys and so forth are, so I'm going to go with Nobel Prize, but I also wanted to say hello. And hi to Kathy, and on a personal note, Kristen and Daniel and Charles are now living in Des Moines. We moved them out in late November. I spent a week out there with them helping get the house set up, so we can chat about that offline. But I just wanted you to know Daniel is doing great. He'll have his third birthday on January the 1st. And had there been 32 days in December in the year of 2011, they would have had a tax deduction. Back to you, Gordon. W3JD.
That was an interesting comment about the tax reduction. Thanks, Dave. Okay, on Des Moines. And I just want to make sure I'm writing you down correctly. Were you picking Nobel? You were ruling the others out, I think, sir. Over.
Yes, indeed. My choice for December is Nobel. Thank you.
Okay. Roger Dodger and did it. Thanks, Dave. All right. We've got a lot of proper answers here. S-U-N, you're right on mark. I'm sorry to say, Gary, that you you missed with the Juno, but Steph brought the bacon home to the hosta. Nobel was correct out of the contingent in Newberry. OVI, you're right on. THO, you're right on. And Dave, you're right on. So, nice parley. Before I go to the next question, I just want clarification here. I think that I heard you say, Gary, RMO, that the Grammy Awards were synonymous in Canada to the Nobel Prizes. Did I hear that correctly? It doesn't seem to make sense to me, sir. Over.
No. The Juno Awards are the Canadian equivalent of the Grammy Awards here in the U.S. So they are a Canadian award that takes the place of the United States Grammy Award. I don't know if a Canadian artist, it's an interesting question. I don't know if a Canadian artist can also receive a Grammy, but Juno Awards are issued in Canada for Canadian artists.
All right. Yeah, I wasn't comfortable with what I thought I was hearing, but it makes sense to me now. Thanks, Gary. Okay, guys and gals, I've got two more here before I throw it back to you, Gary, so stand at attention. My next question is, if you were born on the 26th of December, what would your zodiac sign be? I'll read that one more time. If you were born on the 26th of December, what would your zodiac sign be? And your choices are Gemini for A, B, Cancer, C, Capricorn, or D, Libra. So let's hear what you have to say. KY6V for South Cars.
RMO.
Boy, you're standing by yourself. I'm going to have to go to the roster and find out what your birthday is. Thanks, Gary. Anybody else besides RMO?
One India.
I need to repeat that question over. Australic India.
Discussing this before you jump in. I've got one India. I think I said Libra, and I mean when I said D. But you know what I'm talking about. Okay, let's take them two by two this trip. RMO. Go ahead, sir.
Well, the sign I was born under said maternity. Yeah. But I am going to say, and I don't know why I know this, but I know this, and because it's probably the sign after my sign. So I'm going to go with Capricorn. Capricorn is the next sign after Scorpio. So that's the one I'm going with. Steph, do you want to take a shot at this one?
No, I have no idea.
She has no idea. So we've got Capricorn and one pass and one maternity, and we'll throw it back to the net. This is KC2RML.
Was there a red light under that maternity sign, Gary? Over.
It was flashing.
On the air. Love it. Got you for Capricorn. We got a hold on Stephanie. One India. Go ahead, sir.
Hey, Gordon. WQ1I. And I'd like to thank Mr. RMO, Gary, up in Syracuse, for representing me in the upcoming investigation for my breaking of the FCC rules with political comment. But what was the question? Oh, we've got two answers here, two Capricorns and one abstention. We seem to have lost the child somewhere. We're looking for her now. Hopefully she's not out in the snow.
Oh my God.
But we'll just so we got two Capricorns.
Two caps and one hold. Okay. I hope she's not out in that weather. Thanks, Paul. Thanks, Jessica. OVI, go ahead, sir. I understand that you were trying to get in and I didn't recognize you. Over.
Oh, I understand that. I go with Gary's comment. I'll go with that. 84 Oscar Virginia.
Okay, great. You all, cap, cap, and cap, and that's what it is, Capricorn. Okay, my last question, and it's coming back to you, Gary, so stand tall. What infamous event incurred on the 7th of December? Now, this one ought to be pretty easy for everybody. What infamous event occurred on the 7th of December? Your choices are the bombing of Pearl Harbor, the sinking of the Titanic, John F. Kennedy was shot, or the start of the Civil War. Partakers, please call now.
Sierra United November.
Victor X-Ray Papa.
Okay, well, don't stop there. I have OVI at the top, followed by RMO, followed by SUN, followed by VXP. Anybody else?
VH.
Victor Hotel. Thanks, Steve. Let's lock and load at this point. I'm going to read the question one more time. What infamous event occurred on the 7th of December? Possible answers, the bombing of Pearl Harbor, the sinking of the Titanic. John F. Kennedy was shot. Start of the Civil War. OVI, Mr. DeLand / Orange City, go ahead.
You forgot to now / DeLand. It was the infamous but very sad event that happened over Hawaii. And we all should take the note of that. 84 Oscar Virginia, back to Nick Control.
Okay. Got you covered for Pearl. Thanks, Pete. RMO, please.
My friends, and you are my friends. That would be a day that lives in infamy. It would be the bombing of Pearl Harbor, and of course, December 7th for that. Would you like to weigh in?
That works for me.
All right, so we have two for the bombing of Pearl Harbor, and we'll go back to the net. This is KC2RMO.
Well, I'll tell you what. You do that very well. Again, I say that you ought to be on stage. You do talk Swahili also, right?
Yeah, I could probably do enough for a Swahili tour.
Thanks, Gary. Thanks, Stephanie. We have you both down for Pearl. Miss Sunshine, S-U-N, please.
This is Kilo 6 Sierra United November, and I will agree with everyone else. As you well know, you and I did a net. I believe last week on the bombing or the remembering of Pearl Harbor, and I actually did an activity with my children. So that's the only one I would say was in December. I'll go along with the rest of them. Back to you.
Okay. Thanks, Kathy. We did a rundown on the Titanic, too, as I recall, but not as recently as Pearl Harbor. Okay, I've got you for Pearl. VXP, Mr. Ohio. Go ahead, sir.
This is N1VXP. I think consensus, Pearl Harbor. And I think I figured out where Gary gets some of his comedy. It happens to be a show that's on tonight at 10 o'clock, which I plan on watching. N1VXP, back to net control.
Oh, don't leave me there, Rick. What's the name of the show?
Well, I think it's called Sven Gulli. It's a two-hour movie that's on there, and the character is quite comical that narrates it.
Okay. Well, if it wasn't passé comment, you know, if it was still running today, I think he'd be right in the middle of laughing. Hello, Gary. Victor Hotel. You're going to tell me that the one that wasn't listed here was the Battle of Louisiana, over?
No, I thought you had a choice of the start of the Civil War. 1949, the Chinese Civil War, the Republic of China moved from Nanking to Taipei, Taiwan. That's the Civil War you meant, right? KF5VH.
Yeah, that's the one I was referring to, but I didn't give any dates, and I'm kidding about that. All right, besides the humor, you want to plant a reasonable answer, over?
Well, if you didn't mean the Chinese Civil War, it was a day that lived in infamy, KF5VH.
You got it. Boy, he sounded a little bit like Franklin D., didn't he? And I'm talking about Gary. Thanks, Steve. You're all right. Pearl Harbor. I think this was probably a bad question for you to put into the pool here, Kathy, because we just ran the show here very recently about the bombing of Pearl Harbor. All right, Mr. Gary, Mr. Syracuse, Mr. Laughin, you have the gavel, sir, from KY6V in South Cars.
Many grazie to you, signora. Actually, just to comment on on what Rick had said there, I don't know that show. I do not know that show, but I did take a lot of lines from Industry on Parade. That was a big inspiration to me. So, if you can remember Industry on Parade, more power to you. That was a great part of my warped youth. Anyway, we've got some more questions for you as we do our trivia tonight on the Global Family Hour. This really has been a lot of fun, and thanks to everybody for your participation, that's what it's called. And what we will do is we will go along with the next question, and I'm going to throw it out there and just see who latches onto this. And the question is, what piece of land did the United States acquire on the 20th of December in 1803? So we bought something in December 1803. Was it A, Louisiana, B, Florida, C, Alaska, or D, Manhattan? Which one of those things did we buy December 20th, 1803? We throw it out now to the listenership. I'm KC2RMO, and this is South Carolina.
I got to take this one, VH.
And I had a feeling you might be there, Steve. Anybody else? Anybody else for that?
I'll take it, Katie, for us, if I can do.
Okay, what did we buy on December 20, 1803? Steve, Victor Hotel, come on aboard and tell us.
I would be remiss if I didn't say it was the Louisiana Purchase, KF5VH.
Let's see how that holds true. Let's see if we can get a consensus here. OVI, Pete, what, how say you, sir?
I don't know how much we paid for it, but I think I lost it.
It was a bargain at twice the price. for a mere 50 million francs, the United States bought Louisiana in December of 1803. So, yes, it was the Louisiana Purchase for 50 million francs, and glad we got it. It was, if you recall, or if I recall anyway, not only did we get Louisiana, but we got most of the Midwest out of that deal for 50 million francs, rather. I don't know how much a franc was worth back then, but let's be frank and figure it out, you know. But I don't know what the actual value was, but it was, you know, I'm sure it was a good size of money back then, well worth buying. So the answer, of course, to this one was Louisiana. As we go with our first question, and we'll move it along to the second question of this set. And this should appeal to, well, certainly to my wife unit, and to many, I'm sure, that are listening. And the question is, what day in December is National Chocolate Day? When is National Chocolate Day in December? Is it the 27th, the 3rd, the 15th, or the 18th? National Chocolate Day, the 27th, the 3rd, the 15th, or the 18th? Which one is it? We will take check-ins right now.
Sierra United, November.
We've got Kathy. Do we have anybody else for when is National Chocolate Day in December?
6, Victor.
Well, there's a couple anyway, so I'm going to throw it out to my lovely wife very quickly here first. And Steph, how say you? What day do you think it is? The 27th, the 3rd, the 15th, or the 18th?
You know, I really don't know, so I'm going to play it safe and celebrate on all four of those days.
Good enough. A blanket celebration. We'll put you across, put you down for that. And we will see what FUN thinks about that. Kathy, what day do you think is National Chocolate Day?
Well, Gary, I'm actually looking in the text box. Mr. Doug, a GYF from Fort Myers, he put in there January 1st through December 31st. He says the whole year. Actually, his lovely wife makes some fantastic chocolates, usually around Christmas time. I'm going to go with the closest to Christmas, because that's when I think a lot of people get chocolate, like chocolate. I actually am going to give one of my assistant principals some chocolate. So I'm going to go with December the 27th, because it's the closest to Christmas. Back to you, Gary.
Well, I think Stephanie agrees with GYF. I think she, you know, she heard that, she started jumping up and down, and you know, so I think he may actually have the answer there. Yeah. But we'll put you down for the 27th and see how that pans out. Six, Victor Gordon, what do you think National Chocolate Day is in December?
Well, thanks, Gary. KY6V here. Well, I sure like Doug's answer, because I think that makes more sense than anything else, the whole blooming year. I'm going to go with the 27th, only because I happen to know that. I'm a chocolate alcoholic, I guess is the way to put it. I love chocolate fudge. I love chocolate chip cookies. And the funny part about all of this is that when I was younger, I seemed to have an allergy to chocolate, Gary and gang. I'd eat some chocolate and I'd start sneezing and coughing, and I says, what's this all about? Well, thankfully, I outgrew it. Go ahead, Gary, KY6V, over.
Well, that would be a horrible handicap to have to go through life like that. I'm glad you outgrew it, too. I never had the problem except for what it does to me, which equals big scary game weight along with everything else. So I have to be prudent about it, but I still like it. And I do think the idea of making it all year round is a great idea. We will also say that OVI is appearing here in the text box. My bad. It was not OVI. It was VXP. VXP says he has the answer. So Rick, tell us what you know.
And one VXP. Actually, there are several. If you check the food holidays, there are several days in the month of December they have to do with chocolate, but being a former, how would I say it, food service student, I remember in school hearing that the 28th of December, National Chocolate Candy Day. And one PXP, back to Nick Patrol.
All right, so we have a little displacement in time there. You say the 28th. The answer that I show here is the 27th, that December, so Kathy was right, and Gordon was right, and I guess if you allow for a little bit of latitude there, the 28th could be right too, so, or if you just accept the fact that we do it, we celebrate every day, then you can't be wrong, but I show the 27th for National Chocolate Day, and I think you're right, Rick, that there are multiple National Chocolate Days too, so maybe in the final analysis that we do celebrate it all year round, and once again Steph is extremely happy about that fact. So we will go and move along to the next question, and this is kind of interesting. I had never realized that this actually happened in December. On the 29th, as a matter of fact, December 29th, a famous modern piece of sports equipment was invented on the 29th of December. What was it? Was it A, the downhill ski, B, the bowling ball? C, the golf club, or D, the badminton racket? All right, so on the 29th of December, did we invent the downhill ski, the bowling ball, the golf club, or the badminton racket? Your choice, and we'll throw it out for answers right now. I'm KC2RMO, and this is South Cars.
One India.
We have one India from the New Milford contingency. Anybody else want to jump in there?
Six, Victor.
Well, it looks like one India and six, Victor. And Paul, how say your group? Do you what do you think was invented on the 29th of December as far as sports equipment goes?
WQI here. Before I give our answers here, it's just Jessica and I. If anyone has seen a little girl, 13 years old, 5'1", about 85 pounds or so, like that, very cute, long, straight brown hair, freckles, let us know. Drop us a note. You know, we don't know the answer to this one, so we're throwing out guesses here. And Jessica's going with the badminton racket. It's a racket. And I'm going with the bowling ball because, hell, I throw one every Monday night. What can I say? Back to you, Gary, and thanks again for that favor you're doing for me. WQI, New Milford, Connecticut.
Hey, no problem. I can handle those guys like putty. No problem at all. All right, that's interesting. And I love bowling, too. We were just talking about that today. I love to bowl. So we have badminton rackets and bowling balls from the New Milford contingency. Let's see what Six Victor has to say about all this. Just like putty.
Hey, thanks, Gary. And I certainly hope that All Points Bulletin is humor on Lou. She doesn't want to be out running around in this weather, or the weather that you're having up there, Paul. Gary, I'm going to say the bowling ball. You know, that dude was first came out in vogue in 1862. Now, I will add that I got my first bowling ball in 1862, and I haven't used it since. KY6V, back to net.
You know, you're everybody who said bowling ball is absolutely correct. The question is, when did you get your first bowling shirt? You know, I don't know when that was invented, but bowling ball is correct. 1862 was the year for that, and I don't have any real background on it, but I suspect that they were doing bowling before that. I mean, if you look at if you go back to Washington Irving and you know, like Ichabod Crane and all that stuff, didn't they do bowling in on the green there? Didn't they do stuff like that? I think they did, but maybe it wasn't the bowling ball as we know it, and you know, it might have been a different type of a ball that they rolled at the pins. But I'm going to say what we probably call the modern bowling ball was invented in 1862. So everybody who made that choice, you chose the right one. We're doing trivia tonight on the Global Family Hour, and this has been a terrific net. Got one more question to throw out to the group, and then we're going to turn it over to Kathy. And the question that we have now is this: which day in December is considered to be, by some, the unluckiest day of the year? What is it? Happens in December now, and it is considered by some to be the unluckiest day of the year. And is the answer A, the 28th? The 4th, the 15th, or the 22nd? So A, the 28th. B, the 4th, C, the 15th, or D, the 22nd. What's the unluckiest day of the year? We will take your guesses or answers right now as we continue on the Global Family Hour. Anybody out there for a guess on the unluckiest day of the year? Nobody. Okay. Steph has an answer or a guess anyway. What do you guess, hon?
Well, I really idea, as mm-hmm. usual. But the 22nd is the beginning of winter, I think. The shortest day of the year. So
okay.
I'm going to go with that.
All right. So Steph says the 22nd. The answer is the 28th. Okay, it is a tradition back to King Herod's massacre of all boys under the age of 2, which would be a pretty unlucky day, no matter how you slice it. So that is what is considered to be the unluckiest day of the year on the 28th. So don't buy any stock. You know, just leave it be. You know, stay in bed and you'll be okay. So that's it for this segment. We will move on to Kathy, K6SUN, to ask the next set of questions. So, Kath, take it away.
All right. Thank you so much, Gary and Gordon. You know, Gary, I think it's getting time that we have to start winding down. We've had a lot of fun tonight. I hope that everyone has enjoyed. But Bruce is doing the next four questions. How do you say about me doing some of the Christmas questions? Because that's what this was all about. They're probably shorter. They're not multiple choice. But I'm going to throw it back to you and see what your thoughts are there. And you can throw it to Gordon as well. But we probably need to start winding down and keep this on file for next year. But how about going over some Christmas trivia versus what I had next was mainly about history. So back to you, Gary. What are your thoughts?
Well, I'm going to cast my vote for Krimma, and so let's do the Christmas trivia, and that sounds perfect. So, got my vote for that. What do you think, Six Victor Gordon? How do you weigh in on this one?
Yeah, that sounds super keen to me, Gary and Kathy. I was just sitting back thinking, you know, guys and gals, Kathy was the one that put this trivia together that we're presenting here tonight. By the time she gets through with maybe four more questions, we will be at 20 questions for the evening. And we are now at 44 minutes into the second hour. So if my Chinese hibiscus is correct, Kathy, that means if we end the scenario tonight and everybody is interested in us continuing, we could have six more shows over the next year or two. Kathy, KY6V, over.
Well, thank you both, Gordon and Gary. And, you know, when I put this together, ladies and gentlemen, we have 125 questions, and I knew we wouldn't get through all of it. And some of it was Christmas, a lot of it was December. But to end tonight, I would actually like to do some fun ones for Christmas. And some of this will take all of you way back to try to think of some of these songs, some of these sayings. So we're going to conclude tonight. Actually, I'm going to conclude with five tonight. And then, Gordon, I'll throw it to you to close tonight and make any announcements. But here's the first one, everyone. This is about Frosty the Snowman. He had what for a nose? Frosty the Snowman had what for a nose? Suffixes, please. Come aboard.
RMO.
One India.
All right, I have two check-ins here right now, or I have a household, and I hope that you were kidding about Lulu. I hope she's just maybe downstairs or watching television. I have RMO and I have one India. Is there anyone else that would like to come aboard? And once again, the question is, remember Frosty the Snowman? What did he have for a nose? I'm not going to give you choices, but just think back and when you were younger, what did Frosty have for a nose? So are there any other check-ins that wish to come aboard?
Oscar Victor India for conclusion.
All right, let me take this threesome here. So the question again was, Frosty the Snowman had something for a nose. So, Mr. RMO, what do you and Stephanie think that Mr. Frosty had as a nose?
He had a corncob pipe. He had a button nose and two eyes made out of coal. Do you agree, my dear?
I do, unless you make
All right, in the to go with the lyrics, he he had a button nose, but the Syracuse variation is to stick a carrot in there. But so we both say button. He had a button nose. This is KC2RMO going back to the net.
All right, thank you, Gary and Stephanie. You know, thinking back to my younger years and all that snow up in Michigan, you know, I too think I used a carrot for that nose. So you'll have to send us a picture of that snowman in your front yard with the carrot in the nose. So, Mr. One India and household, what is your answer for this question about Frosty the Snowman? What did he have for a nose?
That's a drum roll. And Lila did not like it. WQ1I here, we've got two buttons. And we're happy to report that Lulu has been located. She's been hiding in her room, FaceTiming her BFF, Lexi. So that's the other delightful thing about 13-year-olds. Attention span's not going to last the whole 2 hours of the net, that's for sure. So we had a lot of fun. We still are, aren't we?
We are having a blast.
We're having a blast.
It's a lot of fun.
Two buttons, Kathy. WQ1I.
Well, thank you, Jessica and Paul. And with all that snow you're going to have, you know, make sure you go out and make that snowman. Either put a button or a carrot in that snowman. I don't miss making that snowman, but I do remember those years. And actually, we appreciate Lila being here, or Lulu, I think it is, being here. And Lila is the puppy. And the drum roll was fantastic. I didn't think it was you hitting something on your counter. So thank you both for coming aboard. And I'll tell you in a minute if you have the correct answer. Mr. OVI from DeLand, Orange City, what is your answer? And actually, I thought you were from Deltona. So, Mr. OVI, come aboard.
I've moved since then. It must have been the shift of the poles there. jumping from DeLand to Deltona. But anyway, I take the Boston carrot. So that's my guess. Katie Philosophy with the back to night control, and I am summoned. I tell you, I am summoned to the table to partake in a delightful dinner. So I'm going to be gone. Katie Swarovski, back to night control.
All right. Thank you, Pete, for joining us tonight. Enjoy your dinner. And actually, I'll be doing the same after the net's over. And missed you saying toodaloo tonight. But carrot is not the right answer, but button is. But each of and every one of us, when we made those snowmen, we used something different. But the button was the correct answer. So RMO and Stephanie and One India and Jessica had the correct answer. Here's my next one. What are small, inexpensive gifts often called? And they're put someplace. I'll give you a little clue there. What are small, inexpensive gifts often called? You buy someone a very expensive gift, and then you buy a very small one, and sometimes they're put someplace. So, how about some check-ins with this? Actually, I'll give you a clue. There's two words to this one. So tell me about those inexpensive gifts, small, inexpensive gifts. So come aboard if you want to take a guess so you have the right answer.
Yeah, we'll go RMO here.
Six, Victor.
One India.
All right. I heard the laugh there from you, One India. I'm going to be curious what you come up with to tell us tonight. So I'm going to start with, I think it was RMO, which I actually forgot to write down. I think he was the first one to check in. I have RMO, Six, Victor, and the One India household. So, Mr. Gary, what's your answer here? And I want to say before I go on that VXP also, he said he doubled with Pete, but he answered the button on the snowman. So, Gary, what's your answer here? What are those small, inexpensive gifts often called at Christmas time?
What are small, inexpensive gifts often called? They're called cheap. or to use two words, they're called very cheap. And where do they end up? Usually in the garbage. No, but they're traditionally known as stocking stuffers. That's the stuff that you hang up your stockings and you put them in there. Little tidbits, little candy canes and stuff. You know, interesting little items. So I believe them to be called stocking stuffers. Turn it back to the net. This is KC2RMO.
All right, thanks for that, Gary. I didn't hear anything from the background with Stephanie, so either she's busy doing something or maybe she has the same answer you did. So I'll move from you and I'll pick up 6 Victor. Mr. Gordon, what do you have for this answer? What do you think those small, inexpensive gifts are called?
Well, I'm having trouble with the definition of inexpensive. I'm going to go with stockings, too. You know, the Christmas stockings that you hang up on top of the fireplace and so on and so forth. But I've had some neat presents end up in those stockings, you know. A nice, fairly expensive wristwatch, new cell phone, that kind of thing. I've never heard stocking stuffers, but I would say stockings. You know, these normally red and white dudes that you hang up on the mantle right over the fireplace. KY6V, over.
All right. Thank you for that, Gordon. And if we don't have a fireplace, we usually put it someplace. I never had a fireplace. I'm trying to think where I would put those stockings. I'm not sure where I hung them, whether they were off door handles or just placed around the room. But thank you for that. And I'm going to pick up, I think it's the One India household, if I recall. I think I'm correct on that. Or I could be wrong. Mr. One India, did you come back with an answer just yet? I wasn't writing down everyone. So I think it's you, Paul and Jessica. Maybe Lulu is back. Or Lila, maybe she wants to come aboard. What is your answer for that question about those small, inexpensive gifts?
One India here. Well, first, Kathy, I have a comment. Gordon obviously wasn't listening to the teacher who gave a hint when she said...
Two words.
The answer is two words. And Gordon comes up with stockings. Oh, gosh. You know, guys never listen to the ladies. We just don't. And as far as our answer here, when you said a two-word answer, the first answer Jessica came up with was Paul's present. Paul's gift for the small, inexpensive gift.
I was joking.
And yeah, she was joking. So, we did both agree that the answer was
stocking stuffers.
Stocking stuffers, two words. That's enough.
You guys are just having too much fun with this, but we sure appreciate you being here tonight and taking the time to enjoy the fun. Actually, the right answer is stocking stuffers. And I wasn't sure if by just saying the inexpensive gifts, whether you would get the stocking stuffers, but that's usually what they tell you in the store. But sometimes it's not inexpensive gifts, like Gordon was saying. You know, it could be that wristwatch. Who knows? It could be that diamond ring just stuck in that stocking. And you throw away the stocking and that diamond ring has gone away. All right. Thank you once again. I've got about 3 more questions I'm going to go over, and these are all Christmassy. So my next one is, what did Mummy kiss Santa Claus under? What did Mummy kiss Santa Claus under? So this is, I'm not going to tell you the amount of words or what it is, but think back to maybe the song or your younger years. What did Mummy kiss Santa Claus under? Suffixes, please, and join us.
RMO.
VXP.
One India.
All right, I have 3. I have RMO, VXP, and One India. And they were all sort of laughing as they checked in. But I have to laugh with you, Rick. A lump of coal can be put in that stocking if you are bad. That was very amusing. I enjoyed that. So with that, I have RMO, VXP, and one India household. Is there anyone else who would like to come aboard and tell me what did Mummy kiss Santa Claus under? Anyone else? All right, hearing nothing. Mr. Gary, as you were laughing there in the background, I'm sort of interested to see what your comment is here, or your answer. Gary, come aboard.
Well, what did Mommy kiss Santa Claus under? It was under duress. Mommy wasn't going to get a gift from Santa unless she gave him a kiss. That's all it was to it. But actually, it was the mistletoe underneath the mistletoe. I saw Mommy kissing Santa Claus underneath the mistletoe last night. Does my wife agree? All right, we have two for the mistletoe here in Syracuse, and we'll go back to the net. This is KC2RMO.
Under duress. Cute Gary, cute Gary. All right, I have you, both of your answers for the mistletoe. Mr. Rick up there in Ohio, VXP. Thanks for being here tonight in a lump of coal. I don't think I'll ever get that lump of coal, hopefully. But what's your answer about Mummy kissing Santa Claus? Under what did she get this kiss? VXP, come aboard.
I don't think there's anything but the mistletoe. And a lump of coal, I remember hearing, if you were bad, you got the lump of coal. But, yeah, it's a great net. And I just wanted to catch Gary after the net is over to explain Sven Gulli. And 1VXP, back to net control.
All right, Rick. I'm sure after the net is over, you can just make that call to Gary, and I'm sure he'll stay connected. I know he's working on coursework to finish his courses. I heard that earlier. I'm sure he'll be here. So with that, I'm going all the way north to the cold north there in New Milford, that household, and see what their answers are, and I'm waiting to see if they have a different answer because they were sort of chuckling in the background. So Paul and Jessica, what's your answer here for what did Mummy kiss Santa Claus under? Paul and Jessica, come aboard.
Okay, Kathy, we got I'm sorry? Smooching under the mistletoe. Though I do recall a song about under the boardwalk, but we're going to go with mistletoe.
All right. Thank you so much, gentlemen, and actually you're correct. I told you these would be easy, and these would be something we could end this net tonight talking about Christmas. Some of these take you way back to some of those songs and some of those sayings. So you are all absolutely correct. I have two more to go. And then I'm going to throw it to Gordon to close this evening and to give any announcements. Here's my next one. Why did all the other reindeer make fun of Rudolph? Now, this is an easy, easy one. Why did all the other reindeer make fun of Rudolph? So, at this point, I'm going to throw it out there to all stations connected. This is an easy, easy, easy one. Come aboard with your answer.
Victor X-Ray Papa.
RMO.
One India.
All right, I'm going to take these three stations. I told you this was an easy one. Let's start off with Rick up there in Ohio, and I'm glad that all the bad weather missed you and that it'll warm up for you. But who knows? This is the start of winter for you up in that area. It's probably going to head your way one time or another. So why did all the other reindeer make fun of Rudolph, Rick?
N1PXP. Well, just to answer the weather question, one out of three is not bad for missing. We had two weeks prior where we had bad weather, so don't mind missing the third one. And Rudolph had that red nose that everybody joked around about except for Santa. And 1VXP.
All right. Thank you so much, Rick, for your answer. How about you, Gary, and a better half in the background, Stephanie? What's your answer to this question?
Well, it was because that Rudolph the red-nosed reindeer had a very shiny nose. And not only was it because of his nose, but it was the consequences of his very shiny nose, as he was excluded from activities in the reindeer community because he was not allowed to join in any reindeer games. It's a travesty, I say, a travesty, a miscarriage of justice, and it must stop right now. And I'll throw myself on the mercy of the court and turn it over to my better half. What do you say, my love?
Well, I always thought it was because he was sick.
So he needed, like, pops or something.
Yeah,
like, yeah, okay.
He like he had a cold.
Well, I'm saying because he had a very shiny nose. Steph says because he had a very sore nose. And we'll turn it back to the vet. This is KC2RMO.
Okay, Gary and Stephanie, thank you. Sore nose and shiny nose. Okay, but we're both agreeing on the nose. That's a possibility. How about that one India household up there in New Milford? What is your answers? It's probably the same, or maybe it's different. And do we just have two of you, or do we have the third one? So with that, one India, come aboard.
Hey, Kathy. No, just the two of us. I don't think Lulu will reappear again until the bread pudding comes out of the oven. Then I have a suspicion that she will make an appearance. But we're going to both go with the red and shiny nose for Rudolph. But I will say this. This reminds me of one of my favorite Far Side cartoons by Gary Larson. And imagine this. Here's Rudolph with his shiny red nose, wearing a smoking jacket, sitting in a comfortable chair, a brandy in one hand, and he's reading a book with the other. Next to his comfy chair, leaning against the wall, is a shotgun. And on the wall above him are the heads of all the other reindeer, all with plaques in their names underneath. And the caption to the cartoon reads, "All the other reindeer used to laugh and call him names." WQ1I back to net.
Well, Paul, that is really, really cute. Leave it to you. But thank you for that. And actually, everyone said shiny nose. But remember that nose glowed, too, in the dark. And, you know, as we think of our Santa Express coming soon, we have to think of Rudolph and what he's going to be doing up there. Last year, if I recall, he was under the weather, and that nose was not shining. So thank you. You all are correct about the nose. Some of you said shiny. No one said glowing. And I think Stephanie said sore nose. So with that, I have one final question for each and every one of you. And once again, this is Kilo 6 Sierra United November. And my partners tonight have been KY6B and KC2RMO as we conclude our trivia for tonight. And we'll be here next year, same time, same station, to continue. But my final question is, the song Silent Night was written for which instrument? Now, Gordon, you're a musician. Gary, I think you're a musician. And Paul, you're a musician. So think about this. The song Silent Night was written for which instrument? All right, I'm looking for some final check-ins here this evening to answer this final trivia question. Suffixes, please, and come aboard.
Six, Victor.
RMO.
All right, I have six, Victor, and I have RMO. And I'll be disappointed, Paul, if you don't come aboard. Is there anybody else that would like to come aboard and take a stab at this question? This is our final trivia for this night. The song Silent Night was written for which musical instrument? Anybody else want to take a stab at this question?
One India.
All right. I will work with you three gentlemen tonight and the people in your background as well. The song Silent Night was written for which musical instrument? I'm going to start with you, Six Victor. And I know you're very musically inclined and you may know the answers to this. So, or maybe it's just a guess. Thanks for being one of our partners tonight. And thanks for helping out with the preamble and the closing. So with that, Mr. Six Victor, from Kilo 6 Sierra United November, what's your answer for this last trivia question?
Oh, thank you, Kathy. Boy, it's been a great session tonight. Gordon here, KY6V. My answer is the guitar. I'd like to say that that's one of my choice of instruments, either the guitar or the trumpet. There's some history behind that. If you have time, I'll play it on, or maybe you've got it in your script already. But my answer is the guitar, KY6V, over.
All right. Thank you so much, Gordon. Yes, the guitar is a very valuable instrument, and it may be the correct one. It may not be, but thank you for the answer. I'm going to throw it all the way up to there to Syracuse, breaking with you, Gordon, and see what Gary has to say, and maybe Miss Stephanie in the background. We're looking for the song Silent Night was written for which musical instrument? Gary and Stephanie, come aboard.
Well, they think I'm a musician. The jury's still out. It's a matter of opinion, you know. But I would say, I'm going to say guitar as well. But something also tells me that, you know, it had to have been a stringed instrument because of the way the chord structure goes. You know, the dun, 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 dun. Yeah, but so I would have said harp. My first guess was harp. Guitar kind of makes more sense because you don't usually write for a harp, you know. So a guitar is more versatile. So I'm going to go with a guitar as well. Wife unit, what do you think?
Well, I don't know that I've gotten any of the answers right tonight.
You got a couple.
I my thing set free.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And my guess is violin.
Oh. All right, so Steph says violin. I'm going to go with guitar, but I wouldn't be surprised to hear harp or zither or something like that, because it was a German song, right? And it was about 1860, so you know what was in vogue around then. But I'm going to say guitar, and Steph says violin, and I say make it so. We'll go back to the net. This is KC2, RMO.
Well, thank you, Gary and Stephanie. You know, working on the program I have for tomorrow, we're going to be talking about December traditions. I think it was one of the countries and one of the musical instruments of that period, and I could not find it on the internet at all. So I'm going to be very curious what type of instrument that is. So, but it started off with like bamboo. I'm not sure if it was South Africa or India someplace. So, but thank you for your answer with the guitar and the violin. And to me, sort of they're similar in a way. I'm not musically inclined, but to me they're very similar. So maybe it's one or the other. So with that, Mr. One India and Jessica in the household up there waiting for that bread pudding to come out of the oven, what is your answer for this? The song Silent Night was written for which musical instrument? Come aboard. Before you do, I want to thank you guys so much up there for joining us tonight, and I hope that you had a lot of fun. So, Mr. Paul, One India, come aboard.
Hey, Kathy. Well, you know, we didn't have any fun at all. It was just an act. You know, trying to make things move along nicely so everybody else
can. I had a blast.
Oh, there you go. All right. We had a great time, all of us. All three of us. When three of us were here. So, Jessica is going to go with?
I'm going with Gordon with guitar.
Guitar. And I will have to admit that it is pretty hard to go against Gordon in matters like this. But I did have a thought in my head. It happens once in a while. But I had a thought in my head before his answer, so I, in fairness, I will stick with that. And it also happened to be violin, which is a stringed instrument. But he's probably right. So anyway, good night, everybody. 73, we had a blast.
Thank you.
And Merry Christmas. And we'll let you know if we ever get out from underneath this snow we're being buried under tonight. WQ1I back to net.
Well, all I've got to say to you, Paul, and you, Gary, make sure you send me some pictures of this snow. You know, I miss seeing the beauty of it. Don't miss being in it. Like I said, it was 75 degrees, and I think it's going to be in the 80s next week, and I actually, on Friday, start my Christmas break from school, and hopefully, it's been a different year down here. I think it's been a lot warmer. So thank each and every one of you for that final answer, and I'm going to read you something. It is the guitar, but I'll tell you why. The organ in the church was broken, so they needed a song that could be played on a guitar. So that's why Silent Night. We had a lot of information here tonight, and we'll hopefully do it in the future. A lot of it's on December and Christmas. And hopefully all, each and every one of you will join us again next year at this time. But every month we try to do some type of trivia or some type of fun activity. So thank you once again, everyone who participated. Thank you for taking the time to join our Global Family Hour this evening. And at this point, I'm going to throw it over to you, Gordon, to make any final announcements, comments, and maybe see if you can get any final check-ins just to come aboard and say hi. Thanks for riding along with us. Gary, thank you as well. KY6B from Kilo 6 Sierra United November, I'm going to turn it over to you so you can conclude the program for this evening.
Okay, Kathy. Well, thank you very much. KY6V here, Gordon. I see that we're about 16 minutes into the third hour, so it's been a nice session here tonight. A couple of comments that I jotted notes down on. You know, since the initial debut of that song that you were just talking about, Kathy, they've put out some renditions with a pipe organ, which are just absolutely beautiful. But you're correct that originally it was written for an organ, and the organ was broken, and the guitar saved the day, and I'll leave it at that. The other note I had here is Kissing Under the Boardwalk. That made me chuckle, Paul. I can tell what neck of the woods you're in the United States. There's not too many boardwalks around unless you're up in your area. And the red nose, Kathy, you know, you and I have had some communication with the Clauses here recently because of our upcoming Santa Express on the 24th. And Santa's sleigh has been all updated with all kinds of fancy communication and electronics, and he's got a GPS aboard now, satellite navigation, and on it goes. And I rather suspect by this time, with the technology changes that have taken place, that Rudolph probably has implanted LEDs, you know, light-emitting diodes, you know, to make things bright. All right, let me take a pause. We're going to go over a couple of announcements, and I'll wrap it here for tonight. This is KY6V for South Cars. Okay, before I go into the announcements, let me make sure that there aren't any other comments out there that would like to parley before we close. I'll try and get this net this evening into podcast edited form and post it into our website tomorrow for further enjoyment. Any other check-ins, please? KY6V, over.
Reykjavik, India.
I'm going to have to put some phonetics on that. I'm going to have to think about that. We'll start it off with olives. Go ahead, Pete, and hi. Over.
You remember that part of my call sign resembles a town. This is right just south of here. Southeast, if I'm not correct. If I'm not wrong. Southeast is a town that has that call sign in there. So you also remember Oviedo. If you can remember Oviedo, you can remember my call sign. But that's trivia for you right there. But anyway, whoever put this program together ought to get a Purple Crystal Award from Katie Kowalska, Virginia. Say the best of goodbyes in Toulouse.
Yeah, I was going to say Orvita, but I couldn't try and correlate the I in your phonetics. But we'll work on that. Thanks, Pete. Anybody else, please? KY6V.
W3JDH.
Oh, my goodness gracious. Are you still up, Dave? Great. Go ahead, sir.
Well, I was trying all night long to get this iPad to work for me. I was tapping the microphone to get in, and it seemed to be taking my call, but it wouldn't register. So I apologize. I didn't want anybody to think I wasn't interested, but I had buttons, and I had Nobel Prize, and I had Pearl Harbor Day, and I had Rudolph's shiny red nose, and I couldn't get anybody to hear me. But at least finally, something's working right, so I hope everybody has a great holiday season, Merry Christmas, and Happy New Year. Back to Net, W3JDH.
Well, I'm sorry, sir, that you had that kind of problem. But you're sounding just absolutely great here at the moment. You still pounding the key and having fun, Dave, or what? Over.
Well, I have sort of gotten away from the Morse code as far as making transmissions. I had a fellow that I made four transmissions. My goal was to learn it and have transmissions. I don't have a great deal of interest in doing CW on HF. I really like DX, and I like DX phone. I've tried PSK, and I've tried RIDI, and I have all of the gizmos, but I really kind of like to talk to people face-to-face, so to speak, over the air. However, my little grandson, Daniel, as he has been growing up, and probably for the last 8 or 9 months, he's learning words, and he's learning colors, and so forth, and he likes to stand in front of the window out front, and as we would talk about cars and trucks, I would tap out, you know, da-da-da-dit for L or whatever the color was, or the color of the car, and we got to where he was repeating the code back to me. So we would do Daniel, D-A-N-I-E-L, with the right code, and it was just as funny and as cute it could be, because he'd get everything right until he'd get the L, and then he would go da-da-da-da-da-da-da, and kind of would fill off the end. So I'm still having fun with it. I just haven't used it as I probably should. I put a lot of effort into learning it, you know, basically 2 years and a lot of time. But I have promised my friend down here I'd get back into it. So perhaps here in the winter, as my activities wind down with the singing groups I'm in, I can get back to that. So thank you for asking. Back to Net, W3JDH.
Yeah, well, I think you're at a plateau now, Dave, that you're never going to forget it. You know, your speed may drop a skosh if you don't play with it too often, but it comes back fast. It's just like a motorcycle, riding a bicycle, whatever. You just never forget how to do it. Okay, Dave, thank you, sir. Have a great evening. What's left? Anybody else out there before we close? KY6V. Okay, let me go over just a couple of things here. Our Rag Chew tomorrow morning, 10 o'clock Eastern Time, right here on the server. We'll be covering Christmas traditions. Kathy will be running that show. I've had the opportunity of looking at the script that she's going to be working with, and it's going to be a grand get-together. I want to say that we're still in need of help here in South Cars. We need some additional NCSs, people behind the scene in the administration part, hospitality agents, and on it goes. Hey, talk with us. If you'd like to learn what these areas are all about and what is expected, we'd be very happy to get into communication with you. Just let us know. Drop us an email. VOIP at voipnet.southcars.com, and we'll take it from there. A couple other quickies. We made some changes on the website. We now have a nice, bright, red-colored logo on the homepage. that we didn't have before. It adds a little bit of color to the presentation. We've added a section in our left sidebar that you can pull up for the biographies of some of the main members of the staff. Take a look at it and get to know us. We've also moved the breaking news from the center of the home page on our website over to the left sidebar, and it's right up at the top, and it's given us some advantages from the position that it was in before. So check it out. With that, I'm going to close the session for this evening. Thank you, Gary. Thank you, Kathy. And thank you for all of you who participated this evening. It's been grand. It's been fun. Kathy, I just calculated, since this is basically trivia for the month of December, and you have 125 questions and we've only hit 20, that means we can run it each December for the next 6 years. And I hope that I'll be around to hear it. Let me buy a nickel. All right, guys and gals, good evening. Thanks for being with us. This has been South Cars, South Coast Amateur Radio Service. We're going to return the server back to normal use and abuse and hope to see you tomorrow morning or whenever it is the next time. Saying goodnight from KC2RMO, K6SUN, and KY6V. Toodaloo for now. Thank you.